in our sins. It's like being a stagnant pond, if you like, that really can't support any life. So nothing grows in it. And then it goes on to say, you let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. This is a funny picture of someone's nose breathing in toxic fumes, but I just thought that it just shows you what it's like to be in the world and to be actually just swept along and breathing in what's around us. And it's like being dead. And, you know, the Bible also tells us, Paul writes in Romans and says that the wages of sin is death. So all this sort of background to this is that we really were dead in our sins. And this toxic living, if you like, resulted in dying, filled our lungs with polluted stuff. So we die. And really, this is due to the atmosphere. The passage that Peter read so well for us explained that was like the atmosphere of Satan, really, being the prince of the air or the devil. It's what's around us that we could be breathing in. It's the atmosphere. But when we were like this, we know that God had a great rescue plan, and because of his great love and his mercy and his grace, which we've heard about in other talks as well, he has saved us and brought us from that, rescued us. And because of his rich mercy, which is sort of the thing about not getting what we deserve, that anger, which the passage that Peter read talked about, we deserve anger, but we don't have it. But because of God's grace, we get what we don't deserve, which is his love. And because of the fact that he sent Jesus and through that, through his death and resurrection, we've been made alive. We've been brought into an alive relationship, breathing again. And it's really exciting to think that that's for us as well. Sometimes we might not feel like that, but actually we are alive in Christ. And we need to just understand or like absorb that, breathe it in, instead of breathing in the sort of toxic fumes around us. So it's a bit like the song was saying earlier, that he's turned our graves into gardens. And I know some of you really like your gardens. So, you know, it's exciting to see things growing in gardens. We've got a plant that we rescued from Andy's dad's the other day, and he said, throw it in the bin, it's rubbish. He said, it's dead, it's been sitting there, it's dead. And we brought it home and we watered it and put it in the light, and there are signs of life, little red leaves coming on it. And it's really exciting to be looking and just seeing the signs of life in that sort of half dead, half alive plant as it is at the moment, but we think it will survive. And so that is what Jesus has done for us. He's breathed life back into us. But not only that, he's seated us with Jesus in heaven, in their realms. And I mean, I couldn't find a really good picture of this, but it's just the idea that we are in Christ, we're with Jesus, and we're above everything with him. And, you know, sometimes it's so easy to get sort of dragged down our thinking. We look around us and we see what's going on, especially perhaps during lockdown. It's been really hard as we look around, we see such different awful things happening to ourselves and our friends. And yet, if we can just say to God, we want to be seeing things from his perspective, because he's above everything. And the other thing that about this, Jesus is seated, he's sitting down, and it sort of is the picture of him finishing his work. I don't know about you, but perhaps when you come home from work or you've been working in the garden, you like to sit down and put your feet up. You know, it's sort of that idea that Jesus has finished the work. So it's not us that work really hard to get to this place. We don't have to work. He's done it. He's finished it. He's finished that job of rescuing us because of his death and resurrection. And we just know that he's finished that. So we don't have to try hard. It's not trying hard. It's about relaxing really in what he's done for us. It made me think about the plant as well, about what it looks like to be alive. What are the characteristics of living organisms? Now, I got this from the BBC Bite Size, the 7 characteristics of living organisms. And I suppose if you've done your GCSEs or whatever, you probably know this, or it's probably earlier than that now. You probably know this back to front, but it's just helpful, I thought, just to know what a living organism can look like. So there's movement, there's reproduction, sensitivity to light and stimuli, growth, increase in size, etc. Nutrition, able to take in and absorb good nutrients to help all these other things happen. And there's respiration, breathing, breaking down nutrients to release energy to help us live, be alive. And then there's excretion, getting rid of toxic materials. And I was thinking about how we can apply that sort of like in our God-given life, our alive life that Jesus has given us. Because the verses go on to say that we are God's workmanship. And the Greek there is poimia, I think. I think that's how you say it anyway. And that's a word for poem, where we get the word poem from. It means that we're his creation. We're being made in a process. And I really, one of my favorite verses is that verse in Philippians 1-6, which says that there's a good work. God is doing a good work in us, that he will go on to complete it. So it's a process that God is bringing about these living things in us. He's bringing about his life in us as we grow. And so applying this to our 7 characteristics of living things, I thought, perhaps what are the signs of spiritual life for me and for you? What about moving? Are we able to move when and where God wants us to be? I'm sure Isaac might be thinking about that at the moment, but and others of us might be moving house, moving homes. Are we able to move and be responsive to God? Reproduction, are we able to see that disciples are being made, making disciples? Sensitivity, are we sensitive to the Holy Spirit and responsive to other people? Are we growing? Are we becoming like Jesus in our character and our gifts? What about nutrition? Are we eating? Are we absorbing words from God through prayer, listening, scripture, etc.? Are we able to breathe, knowing the energy of the Holy Spirit? And are we excreting, getting rid of the rubbish that we might breathe in, or rubbish that we've collected, the toxic stuff that we might have in our lives? How are we doing on living in that way? So I thought, just for a few minutes, I thought it would be useful for us just to think about that. And especially perhaps through lockdown, there may have been things that you might have thought have died within your spiritual life, if you like. There may be things that have become dormant, things that are just not there anymore. And it might be helpful just for us to spend a few minutes thinking about asking the Holy Spirit to revive those things, to bring those things back to life. It might be spiritual gifts. It might be things like prophetic words, pictures. It might be speaking in tongues. Or it might be things that we used to do that we can't do anymore, and we could do, but we're not doing. So I would be useful just to think about those things and ask the Holy Spirit to highlight them to us. And if he does highlight any things like pictures for other people or any thoughts you get, you could pop them in the chat and we could see them later. And the other thing is, a couple of weeks ago, we had Thy Kingdom Come, and we were thinking about 5 people that we were praying for to come to know Jesus. And it might be that you know people today that need to be made alive in Christ, that need to move from death to life. You might know those people, and you can bring them to God now and pray for them and ask for opportunity to help them understand how they can move from death to life. So those 2 things. So we're going to watch a garden come back to life for a few moments. As we're doing that, it'd be good to think about those things and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Okay, thanks, Rich, if we can see that video now.
Continue.
Okay, thank you everybody for watching that. I hope it's given you some thoughts and ideas about what needs to come to life for you and perhaps some action. If there's anything you need to talk to anybody about that, well, you can talk about perhaps in the breakout rooms or something. But to carry on now to think a little bit more about what that scripture is saying, we've thought about God sort of working for us in saving us and bring us to life. We thought about what God is doing in us through the Holy Spirit and being a work of his, a creation. And there's things now about what God can do through us. And one of the things that struck me about this passage towards the end of the passage, it talks about us walking in good works, depending on which translation you read. But one of them is talking about walking in the good works that God has prepared for us. And what it made me think about, that we might be sitting with Jesus in the heavenlies, but it's our feet that are on the ground. And, you know, you hear that saying, don't you, that, you know, they may be sort of so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. And I think, you know, I don't want to be like that. We're the other way around. We want our mind set in the heavens, set on the things above, but our feet are on the ground walking, you know, bringing God's kingdom to where we walk. So I was thinking about how we can do that. And the really good thing is that the works that we're walking in or the things that we do are good works because he's doing a good work in us. From that verse in Philippians, it's a good work that he's already doing in us. So what the outcomes are from us are good because he's prepared them in advance. They're really actually set there for us. And we were listening last time, weren't we, to Lynn talking about giftings. And I just thought it's really helpful to note that God has made us who we are, and he can prepare works for us to do that fit with our character. They're the best for us. He knows how we work, and he can give us the things to do to walking, even every day, not just the sort of big long-term things, but the things each day that we can walk in the prepared way. And it's a bit like if I went to London the other day, and the Underground was quite busy, but not as busy as it used to be, where I feel you get sort of dragged along and you just follow around, not quite sure if you're me, you don't really know where you're going actually. And I think it's a bit like that before you follow Jesus, before we believe, when we're dead in our sins, we actually are just following like a crowd. We're just following that way. But the contrast is that when we're following Jesus and we're following his prepared paths, we really know that we're walking the right way. And you might know that if you go on a sort of coastal path around here, perhaps, or you walk from Budley to Otterton or somewhere, there's a path and it's quite good to follow it. It's exciting, you know, there's lots of great things to see and it's quite clear in front of you that there's a path. So it's a bit like that. We sort of move into a prepared path that God has chosen for us. And we can follow that path. And it's because, you know, we don't have to try really hard to actually do these things. One of the things that I found sometimes it can be hard with a lot of the well-being things we've been talking about, that sometimes it feels as if you've got to try really hard to do all those things. And I felt God was saying that he's done it all. We don't need to try hard. We need to just breathe the life that he's given us and to just sort of like accept that he's done the work. He's done the work and we can just walk in the good things he's given us. So as we sort of come to a close now and think about this for the future, I'd just like to leave these verses with you. the verse 10 from we've been looking at, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then a verse in Corinthians, which says what? No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. It's exciting. It's an adventure. So this week, let's pray that we can walk in those ways, walk in what he's prepared for us each day as it comes, and we can breathe and relax in being alive in him. Thanks. Mark, I think, is going to take on from here.